Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this meeting of the Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel on the 3rd of March 2025. I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. Acknowledgement of Country. The Canterbury Bankstown Local Planning Panel acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, water and skies of Canterbury Bankstown, the Darug people. The panel recognises and respects Darug cultural heritage, beliefs and relationship with the land, and the panel acknowledges the First Peoples continuing importance to the Canterbury Bankstown City community. My name is Julie Walsh and I'm the chair of the panel this evening. Also sitting with me are expert members Scott Barwick to my immediate right, and next to Scott is Christopher Johnson AO. We have three community members sitting this evening because each of the three items are in different wards. The first community member is Linda Eisler, who's sitting adjacent to me from the Canterbury Ward. We also have Stephen Tantevsky from the Revesby Ward and Osman Said from the Roselands Ward. Site inspections were carried out prior to the meeting this evening by the members of the panel accompanied by relevant council staff. All panel members have completed written declarations of interest declaring that they have no interest in any of the items before us today, but I'll just double check with the expert members first.
Confirm no conflicts of interest for me, Madam Chair.
Similar, no conflict.
Okay. You have
no conflict of interest.
And I have no conflict of interest. And the other two community members, if you have an interest that you've discovered since you did the declaration, announce that. Otherwise, I'll assume there's no declaration. Thank you. So I wish to confirm the minutes of the previous local planning panel meeting, which was the 4th of November 2024. We have three items on the agenda today, 325 and 327 Canterbury Road, Canterbury, 806A Henry Lawson Drive, Picnic Point, 460 to 462 Burwood Road, Belmore. There are no registered speakers in relation to item 2. There are some registered speakers in relation to items 1 and 3. Generally, the speakers will be limited to 3 minutes and they should remain at the microphone in case the members have questions. There's a note for me to read regarding the speakers. This is not a question and answer session, but an opportunity for members of the public to express their views directly to the panel. My apologies, the time limit for speakers is 5 minutes rather than 3 minutes. After 5 minutes, there will be a bell, and I will ask the speaker if they can wrap up their address. And as I say, there may be questions. After the public meeting, we will have a closed session to determine the DAs, and we aim to have the minutes on the council website by Friday. I did just want to record, for the record, that we have been provided in relation to item 3 with some late correspondence, which is a letter dated 3rd of March 2025 by GATT and Associates, who are the applicant's town planner. We have all been provided with that letter and we have reviewed that letter and considered it. And when you are addressing us, we may have some questions in relation to that letter. So we'll start with item 1, 325 and 327 Canterbury Road, Canterbury. And the first registered, I have two registered speakers, so I don't know who would like to go first. I've got Parry Savides from Savides Design Solution, the applicant, and Stephen Rafilatos, Commercial Property Group. Yes, probably best if you sit together. So who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you. And you are?
I'm Perry Savides.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the local planning panel regarding the application of 325 and 327 Canterbury Road, Canterbury. I respectfully request the panel to consider approving this application, overturning Council's recommendation for refusal. The proposed development offers significant benefits and aligns with many key requirements. the design is compatible with the character of Canterbury Road, the surrounding properties, and the wider mixed-use precinct envisioned by Canterbury Bankstown LEP and Canterbury Bankstown DCP controls. Just regarding site amalgamation, there were some challenges. Council did request us to amalgamate with our adjoining neighbours. Council did ask for approximately five properties to be amalgamated. Now, this is obviously very difficult because they all each have separate owners. An assessment of the proposal against the relevant land and environmental court planning principles on site isolation was provided to council, where reasonable offers have been made to acquire the neighbouring lots. The neighbouring sites at 329 and 330 and 331 Canterbury Road have the ability to further redevelop in accordance with the objectives and controls offered to their land, and therefore, from a future redevelopment perspective, either independently or consolidated, and are not considered isolated. These properties also have the benefit of re-vehicle access from Clunes Lane at the back. In accordance with these principles, the failed negotiations must not be allowed to unreasonably restrict any future redevelopment of the subject land to a capacity envisaged by the prescribed zoning and development standards, which is what we proposed to council. It's the development before you, the application before you. Refusing this application may result in these sites remaining undeveloped for many years, hindering progress in the area. Thus, these sites do and remain idle and dilapidated for many, many years. In conclusion, we urge the panel to consider the overall merits of the proposal, which largely meet key requirements and offer a valuable contribution to the area. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. I might just hear from Mr. Rafilotos. Have I pronounced that right?
Yes, that's fine.
And then
you said
if
it well.
There's questions, we can ask them of both.
Sure.
Thank you.
Firstly, I'd like to thank your time as well. Just a history on these properties that my wife and I bought those properties in 1989 with the help of my father to give a deposit. So there is a sentimental value there for me, which have been useful security purposes for future developments that I've made. Now, as my architect says, that we've been classified as isolated case. Now, I think the word isolated is a term which is overused in many terms, in many ways, through councils, not only now that I'm speaking, but other things that I've done. And I think the council should consider what can be built on that block of land of 560 square metres where we're complying with all the isolation cases put forward by offering our neighbours to be bought, where they've come up with unreasonable offers. And when I spoke to the town planner, he said the minimum has to be 36 metres. I want to know who's got 36 metres on Canterbury Road at the moment to redevelop. These properties, to me, to amalgamate are out of the question. They have a sentimental value to me. I want to build them. I want to hand them down to my children, just like my father started with me. And it's a property that I haven't overdeveloped. There are properties on the same roughly square metres of block of lands that have built up to 21 units units on the same top of it. I've built 12 generous units there, which I want to keep, rent them, affordable housing and also pass them on to my children. So my question is, if this is unreasonable what we're offering here and the council hasn't given me an answer what I can reasonably build on such a land, there must be something that I can build and redevelop that block of land. And that's the question I'm asking at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just check. Did you have any questions, Mr. Barwick? Mr. Johnson, did you have any questions?
No, but I do understand the dilemma. You do have to cut that in from the lane way, which is probably in council office before it's really rich, which is there.
We've tried with our neighbours on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, they're not willing to sell. They've had their properties for a while as well. We did make offers next door, but they came back unreasonable, over double what the value was, the valuation was when we paid for the valuation for them.
Sorry, just so when you say the right-hand side, that's looking at the Main Street frontage.
Yeah.
So on the right-hand side, I think we were told that there's a three lots in one ownership?
There's three lots there, yeah.
And you said they weren't willing to sell?
No, they're owned by one person.
And the properties on the left-hand side?
There's a laundromat, which we made an offer of 1.2. He refused it. They want 1.9. And the other guy up the road, which is the next one over, he wanted close to $2 million for his properties, which is unreasonable. Now, we've made... under the rules of isolation cases, where we've been through this before, is that we've made a reasonable offer for them to consider us buying them out. Amalgamation for me is out of the question. I'm not going to sit and amalgamate with other people's property. There's a Greek saying that says, there's a loaf of bread, you got the knife, you slice it where you want it. And that's what I believe in life, that you live... And you build for the future of your family and your kids. Now, we made a reasonable offer under the isolation rules that's gone through court. Is that if we've made an offer, that's their problem now.
So just so the properties on the left, there were two sites.
Correct.
So you obtained valuations from a registered
valuer.
Yes, we did,
yes.
And then you put that an offer at that value.
Correct.
They came back with alternative values.
Correct.
And was there any further discussion?
No.
Was that okay, thank you. No more questions? No. Okay, well,
after we've got the
sure. All I'm asking for one more time is a reconsideration of what I can do on that site. Surely there's something that I can do on that site to improve it. They're in a bad state at the moment. I'm losing tenants there. And the tenant that's leaving, the restaurant that's leaving shortly, I mean, I bought that in 89. I built it. We grew a family there with my wife. We built my business there. We started my business there. It is a sentimental value, and that's worth more than what our market made with other people at a ridiculous price. Surely there's something that council can advise us of what I can build there according to that FSR there.
And okay, thank you for coming along.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, so the next item is 806A Henry Lawson Drive, Picnic Point. I think, yes, we need to swap over the community members. Stephen Tuntewski is the community member for this one. And I think the position is there's nobody who wants to speak, but... someone is available if we have questions. So I might just ask, did you have any questions?
I have no questions nor concerns, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Barwick, did you have any questions about this one, Mr. Johnson?
No, I
had no questions either. We went out to the site. The report's quite comprehensive. We understood the relationship of the site and the issues. So in that case, we'll deal with that in closed session at the end of... the public speakers, and we will now move to item number three, which is 460 to 462 Burwood Road, Belmore. And the community member for that one is Osman Said. Okay. So I have two registered speakers, Constantine Harris, the architect for the applicant, and Roberto Bianco from Gatt and Associates, the applicant's town planner.
Yep.
Who would like to go first?
Oh, I'll speak first.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, panel members. Thank you for your time. My name is Roberto, and I am the town planner for the application at 460 to 462 Bellwood Road, Belmore. I have reviewed the council's assessment report, and I am concerned that there are issues identified in the report that have not taken into consideration the circumstances of the site.
I was just going to say, you can assume that we've read your letter.
Yes. Okay. Correct. So it hasn't considered the circumstances of the site are inconsistent with the other aspects of the assessment, and it presented the application in an unfavourable light that I don't think has truly reflected what's currently in the locality and what's emerging in the Belmore locality. As you are aware, prior to the LPP meeting, we did prepare a submission containing our response to the issues raised in the assessment report. Given the time constraint just to speak, I'll just put those issues aside, but ask, you know, if the panel has any questions following my time and when Con speaks as well, they can ask any questions in relation to that report and I can provide some clarification if needed. Look, overall, we're a bit disappointed how this assessment has unfolded. I'm not sure if the panel is aware. Originally, back in 2021, there was a refusal on the site for shop-top housing. We took on board those reasons for refusal very seriously, in particular regard to some key amenity issues such as solar access, and we tried to amend the design as best we could that offered great amenity for future occupants and best responded to the emerging streetscape, in particular the adjoining development to the south, where our development has taken a lot of visual cues and also a lot of, you know, facade cues, articulation cues, alignment cues, in order to try and present a very consistent streetscape presentation. During the assessment process, we didn't receive any feedback from council. I know we received a letter requesting the application be withdrawn, which we were taken back by. We managed to convince council to let us submit some initial plans to address some of those issues. But our main concern was the fact that at no stage during the assessment process were we allowed to talk our design with the design review panel. Now, I'm not sure what Canterbury Bankstown's approach is in regards to design review panels, but in general with other councils, the architect at least afforded the opportunity to present his case to design review panel, explain his rationale, how he's adopted the principles of the apartment design guide and how he's sort of integrated a development that best responds to what the guide, the objectives of the guide are, but also respects what the development, emerging character development is for the Belmore locality. And look, we acknowledge that there are some variations to controls, but they don't necessarily warrant a refusal of the application. Some of the issues identified are just require minor tweaks to the plan at best. To address these concerns. And overall, we just don't see that this development would set an undesirable precedent for the Belmore locality. As previously noted, it aligns with what the southern adjoining development is, and it's a six-storey form that respects the other six-storey developments in the area. Look, we've gone through a long, detailed design process. We've considered the site constraints. Notably, there have been no public submissions against the application, so it shows that this development is in public interest. But I'll sum up now so I get Con can sort of speak for his part, but I'd just like to thank the members for their time tonight, providing the opportunity for us to speak on behalf of the application, and I'm happy to answer any questions once Con gets
it. Thank you. We'll just hear from the architect first, and then we'll ask questions after that. Thank you.
Good evening, panel members. My name is Constantino Harris. I'm the architect of the project. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm very disappointed with the officer's assessment report and its recommendation to refuse this application. The proposed mixed-use residential development at 460 to 462 Burwood Road, Belmore, has been unfairly assessed. Contrary to the conclusions in the report, the proposal is consistent with the apartment design guide and delivers a high level of amenity to the occupants while complementing the existing streetscape and built environment. Key considerations. The proposal fits seamlessly with the streetscape. It is in harmony with recent Chop Top developments along Burwood Road. The building height is compatible with the neighbouring building to the south. The architectural articulation, materials and overall design has been carefully considered. In relation to the height variation, the proposal breaches numeric height control by 1.3 metres to at the top of the overrun. The officer's report itself acknowledges that the breach does not cause adverse overshadowing or visual impacts on neighbouring properties or to the streetscape. Importantly, there were no objections. The comment by the design review panel to remove a floor in order to achieve numeric compliance with the building height will have a negative impact to the existing streetscape and future character. The proposal would end up being five floors, 1.1 metres lower than the adjoining building. The floor levels will be misaligned, resulting in a disjointed streetscape. The future character is for increased height for that area. Design of the apartments achieve a high level of amenity in terms of spacious, efficient layouts that are more than 15% larger than the minimum size in the ADG. The majority of apartments achieve the 2 hours solar access in winter, 100% cross ventilation, living rooms open up to private open space, which all comply, and outlook into the landscape communal areas. In relation to the communal areas, the development offers generous and well-designed outdoor areas. The central landscape communal courtyard of 135 square metres achieves a high level of amenity to the occupants and is more than double the neighbouring property. It provides a connection to the natural environment and valuable breathing space between the buildings. There is also a visual connection from this courtyard to the streetscape and hence the cross-ventilation. The rear landscape area also provides outdoor recreation and social interaction. The total communal area provided on this project is 315 square metres or 34% of the site area, which is well above the 25% under the ADG and any other development in that close proximity. In relation to the officer's comment regarding the streetscape retail frontage, this was dependent on the double driveway, the entrance to the apartments, the location of the waste room, which was dictated by council's waste management officer. It had to be in that location. They even gave us a design, and as well as the fire egress. At the end, we only end up with a single-fronted retail. However, we acknowledge about the retail activation. We are willing to make an adjustment that includes the relocation of the shop entrance to the street, lowering the level of the ground by 200, so it's level with the footpath. That increases the height, floor-to-ceiling height of 3.5 metres, which is quite, more than adequate. And also, a further enhancement would be the northern wall would be a canvas for some beautiful artwork, which we could consult with council in providing some enhancement to the street visual appeal. Regarding the comment about the officer's comment about the ramped arcade, which is narrow, low ceiling, simply incorrect. The width is 2.4 metres. It varies from 3.55 to 3.3 and opens out into this beautiful landscape courtyard, which is more than 12 metres wide. Just to sum up now, given the strong architecture and urban design, the merits of this project and the complete absence of objections and the fact that the concerns stated in the report can be easily addressed through minor modifications, we don't believe this proposal warrants a refusal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I just had a question. You're aware that Canterbury Banks Town Council has a pre-DA meeting process that applicants can avail themselves of for payment of a fee. Did you consider, why did you decide not to seek a pre-DA meeting for this?
Okay, well, basically we're the new architects. There was a proposal done a year or two earlier by another architect. So we took on board all their the reasons for refusal. And that way we use as a guideline. It was submitted, 6 months later we get comments, which we further address. So we believe our comments did address the officer's concerns at the time. It's basically fitting with a streetscape. You're governed by the building that's built to the south in terms of its setbacks and the rear setback. You're governed by that. Our central courtyard is 12 metres wide. The neighbouring field, it's 6 metres and goes up to 8 metres on top floor. So it's half the size. So we believe we provide a high level of amenity, and things like, there's some areas like balustrades, they're not glass balustrades, it's solid with glass. The room width, the living rooms, they do comply.
Sorry, so, just to interrupt, I don't need you to go through all that. Yeah, it was just a question about whether you've answered the question.
We didn't do that because we had something to work off. So we knew what council wanted.
So this is not so much a question as a comment, because there's a criticism made in this late correspondence that you weren't given the opportunity to come and address the design review panel.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And so my understanding, which is clarified on the website, the Canterbury Bankstown Council website, is that the design review panel, if an applicant comes to a pre-DA meeting and they want to have the design review panel have a look at it, then the applicant and the experts can address the design review panel. But if that doesn't happen and the matter is then a DA is lodged and it's referred by the council officers to the design review panel pursuant to the design excellence clause in the LEP,
yes,
that in those circumstances the process is that that's just an internal briefing and an internal meeting, and that applicants and or their experts are not invited along. And it may be that other councils have different processes, but that's the process here. And so I just wanted to clear that up, because that
so we weren't unaware of that, because
just in terms of the process, sorry. Yes. Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yes, I wouldn't mind just picking up on a couple of issues.
Yes.
We're off. I'm James Carey, that sounds all right. I must admit I have some sympathy for your position. I've looked at the drawings in a fair amount of detail, and I certainly understand that you have related to the scale of the adjoining building in terms of its general form and height and those issues. I've also looked at the ground floor of the adjoining building in terms of entryways and access to retail and things, and I think yours is not dissimilar. So my feeling is, while there are a number of issues that I think could be resolved within the points raised, it is still worth trying to get something to happen on this site. But I'll leave that to our later discussion in terms of the way we go forward in terms of recommendations.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
I'll just check, did you have any questions? I didn't have any more questions, so thank you for coming along and addressing us. As I said, we have read your correspondence and had a briefing from the council officers, and we'll go and have a discussion after this. So I take it what you're saying in your letter is that you'd like the matter to be deferred rather than refused if we were inclined to refuse it.
Okay. If we could sit down with the planners, I appreciate it.
You don't need to go through it again. I just want to get that
all
clear.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
So that being the conclusion of all the speakers, I declare the public meeting closed at 6:30 p.m. I'd like to thank those speakers who came along, and thank the council staff for their reports and for their assistance, and thank my fellow panel members. Thank you.